Isn't it good this morning to be saved and know the Lord? I appreciate the good Sunday school hour we had and appreciate the good singing this morning and the good spirit in the Lord's house. And appreciate having our visitors with us. I want to say that again. And then ask you to do pray for Brother Poole and pray for this morning as we do our best to preach the Word of God to you. I want to go ahead and turn to our text. Brother Gray will be back with that in just a moment. And, you know, I'll say this before I read our scripture. I'm not preaching on Noah again this morning. I'll get back to him. I really will. But the Lord keeps laying these things on my heart. And so I'll get back to Noah as soon as I can. But, you know, if I believe I preached on the locust. Did I mention the locust yet? I believe I preached on the locust. And if you've been, one thing I did not mention on about those locusts, and it was brought to my mind this weekend, and that is the noise level. Can you imagine being in Egypt with all those locusts? I mean, covering the ground, the trees, everywhere, and the noise that they had to be making. What I heard was just, and I hear them all the time. I hear crickets all the time in my ears. I hear ringing. I have tinnitus, and I hear it all the time. But I'm telling them locusts like to drove me nuts. And that noise is getting louder and louder and louder in Egypt. I would assume that that noise was very troubling to those people and very tormenting to those people. And it was to me what little I heard of them. I'll be glad when they go back in the ground or wherever they go back to. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans in chapter number 13, if you would please. Romans and chapter number 13 in the Word of God this morning. I want to begin reading in verse number 8 and read down through the remainder of the chapter. Paul writing here to the church at Rome, and he makes this statement in verse 8. He says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading. Let's go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the morning hour that we have today. I pray You'll bless in it. I pray, Lord, You'd grant liberty and power to preach the Word of God this morning. And Lord, that Thy Word will drop upon the hearts of, Lord, hearers that will be good ground, that it may bring forth fruit unto God. I do pray, Lord, for the salvation of sinners and for the blessing and divine help of God's people. We do ask You to help those that are sick. Remember those, Lord, that have been ravished by the storms across our land. Bless them, I pray. Provide for them. Help them to recover quickly. I do pray now for Your presence and power in the service today. Grant and do great things for us, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Dear Brother Paul, writing to the Roman church here, and he says in verse number 12, or rather, verse number 11, he said, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of our sleep." And I want to preach a little while this morning, if I may, on the thought of God's wake-up call. God's wake-up call. And I'll say a few things about the text, and then I'll get right into the message. But by way of introduction, let me just make a few statements, if I may, to give you some idea of where I'm going in the message. I'm sure that most of us in here have spent at least a night or two in a motel room during the course of our lifetime. And if you have, I'm sure that you've been asked by where you check in at the desk, the desk clerk, would you like a wake-up call? And you either respond yes or no. And many times we want that wake-up call, but you know, when the phone rings, we'll pick that phone up, and if we're not careful, we'll just lay it right back down where we picked it up from. And rather than getting out of that bed, why, we'll just kind of turn over and go back to sleep. And then, you know, sometimes even at home, many, I'm sure some people don't have to, others do. I'm one of them that have to. I've got to set an alarm clock. And many times that alarm clock will go off, and we'll just reach over and turn it off and roll back over and catch a few more winks. And even if we're extra careful, instead of turning it off, we'll want to hit the snooze button. And we'll lay there a little longer. And it'll go off again, and we'll hit the snooze button. And we'll lay there a little longer. And it'll go off again, and we'll hit the snooze button again. And if we're not careful, we're going to be late for our engagement of that day. But if we do what is right, when we get that wake-up call in that motel room, we'll get out of that bed, we'll put our feet on the floor like we did in Uncle Sam's Army. Amen. When you got the wake-up call in the military, it was a wake-up call. When I heard that first sergeant in Germany walking down that hallway hollering, "Reveille outside," I knew to get outside. Or "Reveille in the hallway," I knew to get in the hallway. And I know what a wake-up call is. And, you know, that's the way it ought to be for the Lord. When we hear the Lord's wake-up call, we need to get our feet on the floor and do exactly what the Lord has called us to do or laid upon our heart to do. And the Lord said, I believe the Lord is giving a wake-up call here. He said, "And knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep." Before I get any further, I want to say I believe God is giving a wake-up call to America. But I wonder if we've heard the alarm clock. I wonder if we have heard the call, and if we have heard the call, have we paid heed to the call, or have we turned over and went back to sleep? God's wake-up call. Now, there's some reasons in our text why we need to give heed to this wake-up call. And I'll just mention them. I'm not preaching on these. But one of the reasons is because our salvation is nearer than when we believe. When he talks about salvation there, he's talking about our complete deliverance. It is nearer than when we believe. I'm closer to heaven right now than I've ever been in my life. Thank God for that. The years are rolling by, amen, and it's not going to be long till God calls me out of this world one way or the other. I'm getting ready to go to heaven, amen. And that salvation is nearer than when I believed. I got saved in 1970, and here it is, 2011, and I'm still here, but my deliverance is nearer than it was the day that I believed. And then he says, "The night is far spent, and the day is at hand." Boy, I'll tell you, the sun is getting ready to come up in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. We better believe that. I mean, you can look around you at the signs of the times, and you don't have to be a smart, intelligent person to realize that God has got His hand on some things, and God is trying to send a wake-up call, not only to America, but around this world, to wake up sinners to the call that God has placed upon their life to believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Amen. He said, "Night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light." It said, let us do these things. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Here is a sinful trio right here in the Word of God. He said, "Not in rioting and drunkenness." That's one of them. "Not in chambering and wantonness." That is another one of them. "And not in strife and envying." That is another one of them. He said, put these things off, but he said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? "And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, I'm telling you, right there is where we're living in the house of God. And I want to remind you that He is not writing to sinners here. He is writing to people in the church at Rome. And He reminds them that they're making provision for the flesh that they might fulfill the lust thereof. And I'm afraid we're living in that hour in our Baptist churches today when we're making that provision. But it's not these things, not these reasons rather, that I want to preach on this morning. But I want to preach on the things that we are to wake up to. God's wake-up call. What is God waking us up to this morning? And I've only got three little points, and I'm going to mind Miss Hall. I'm going to be short and sweet, and we're going to the house. But I see Brother Steve looking at his watch. Amen. That's right. I wouldn't say this a while ago. It was too serious, but I'll say it now. I believe I can say this right now and maybe get your attention a little bit. I laid my mitt down there on the pulpit a little while ago, and I noticed this button laying down there. And what I generally do is pick up a mint, put it in my mouth, and when that mint's gone, that's when I quit preaching. But I heard a preacher preaching on that one time, and he said he reached down to get his mint, put it in his mouth, and there was a button laying there, and said he put a button in his mouth, and he preached for 3 hours. Never did get that button taken care of. I don't want to be guilty of that, doing that this morning, amen? But there are some things that we need to wake up to. I want to say, first of all, that sinners need to wake up from a careless life. Have you ever seen people today that are lost and on their way to hell? I mean, dying without God and without hope. And yet they're living a careless lifestyle. They pay no heed to death that is sure to come. It's appointed unto man once to die. They're not concerned about the judgment. He said, and after this, the judgment. And they don't even seem to be concerned about hell, where the Bible said that all unbelievers will have their part in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. And they go on living a careless lifestyle. I mean, they get drunk, they dance, they carouse, I mean, they whoremong, they do this, that, and they're not concerned about spiritual things. It is time that people got concerned about spiritual matters. Because I'm telling you that the soul of man will live for an eternity. Somewhere, heaven or hell, there's no purgatory, there's no in-between in this thing with God. It is either heaven or hell, and yet sinners continue to live that careless lifestyle, and God is sending them a wake-up call, trying to wake them up out of their sleep that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, I've got a few illustrations. Of course, you know I've got that. When I was writing this down, I thought about that man in Luke 16. The Bible said there was there a rich man. And he was he fared sumptuously, was clothed in fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. I mean, this man had it made. But he lived a careless lifestyle. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? Because God had made preparations to give this man a wake-up call every day of his life. Because the Bible said, and there was a beggar named Lazarus that was laid at this man's gate every day. And every day that rich man had to pass over Lazarus in order to get away out of his house. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God sent that man a wake-up call. It's time for the rich man to wake up. Amen. It's time for you to wake out of your sleep, ladies and gentlemen. Time for that rich man to wake up. And there lays old Lazarus. And nobody gives much concern to Lazarus. He was just a beggar. He had absolutely nothing. But he was a man. He was the source that God was using to send a wake-up call to the rich man that he might wake up out of his sleep and be born again into the family of God, as we sang about a while ago. But you know, he paid no heed to that wake-up call. He's like a lot of people do today, like a lot of good Baptists. He reached over and turned the alarm clock off. There's no heed to Lazarus whatsoever. But the Bible said that there came a day when that rich man died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And Lazarus also died. The Bible said he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Brother, I'm telling you, God give that man a wake-up call and told him it's time for you to wake up Hell is moving faster toward you than you can run and get away from it. And sure as I'm standing where I'm at, that hell will come up on every unbeliever someday, and they'll burn there for all time and eternity. And by the way, that rich man is still in hell this morning. God sent that rich man a wake-up call. His name was Lazarus, just an old beggar. That tells me that wake-up calls don't always necessarily have to be something that's real. What's the word I'm thinking about? Conspicuous. I mean, it's something that's not readily available to recognize. Not easily. I mean, sometimes it may be a little difficult to recognize. It may be something that we don't even think amounts to anything. Right. But it may be that little thing that God is trying to speak to us about. It doesn't necessarily have to be a tornado to tear your house down. Get a hold of your attention. I'm going to tell you, God can send some little things in your life to get your attention very quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. God can bring some of your family members near to death and get your attention real fast. Better believe He can. God can take some little things and get our attention. I thought of another man and his wake-up call. This man's name was Felix. And I thought about the wake-up call that God sent to old Felix. And He sent a wake-up call to him through a man by the name of Paul. The Bible said in Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." Now here is a man that seems to be concerned about his soul. He sends for Paul for one reason. The Bible says the only reason is to hear him concerning the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be like a man or a woman today going to the preacher. "Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about His blood that He shed for me. Tell me about His life that He gave for me. Tell me all you can tell me about Christ, how He died in my place on Calvary Street. I want to hear about the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus." But the Bible said it's He reasoned, that is Paul, as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, that Felix trembled. Isn't that something? There's a man that was so concerned about his soul that he sent for the wake-up call. And when he heard the wake-up call, he began to tremble within his own body. But his answer to Paul was, "Go thy way and I'll call for thee when I have a more convenient season." I'm going to tell you something, sinner friend. There is no more convenient season than what there is right now. Amen. Now is the day of salvation. Behold, the day is accepted. Right now. Right now. There'll never be a better time than right now for a sinner to get saved by the grace of God. Now is the time. It's right now. That's right. Amen. But he said, "You go thy way and I'll wait for a more convenient season." It's like Brother Steve talking about the devil in Sunday school. You go your way. He may very well see to it that you don't have a convenient season. They may not be another time. And there may not be another opportunity. Oh, somebody said, "Well, Christ died on Calvary. All I got to do is believe on the cross and I'm saved." Well, that's good, but there's only one thing wrong with that. You can't believe on the cross until the Holy Ghost opens up your heart and gives you an understanding for you to believe on the cross. Amen. That's right. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. You know that's right. This idea that the cross is just an object out here and all you got to do is believe on it is a lie. Somebody said, "How do you know that?" Because the Bible said the devils believe and tremble. There was a man that you know he believed. He said to hear about it, but all he done was tremble. Oh, I'm telling you, if trembles all you do, you ain't going to make it. You've got to repent and believe, ladies and gentlemen. God sent old Felix a wake-up call. His answer was, "Go again. I'll call for you. Don't you bother me with it. I'll call for you at a more convenient season." Isn't that the way a lot of Baptists are? When they go out of the church, "Don't bother coming around me at my house now. If I won't talk to you, I'll call for you at a more convenient season." I hate to say this, but you know a lot of times when that more convenient season is, it's not when they call, but it's when their family calls. And ask the preacher to preach their funeral and put them in the ground. Amen. They've already gone on. Come on now, say amen. Amen. Their convenient season is gone and passed by them. They're dead and in a casket, and their soul's in hell. Without God and without hope. Sinners need to wake up call to a careless life. I'd say that was pretty careless, wouldn't you? Man called to hear about the faith and then trembled about what he heard of faith and righteousness and temperance and judgment and so forth, and just tremble. And then send the man away and say, I'll send for you at a more convenient season. I'd say that's living a pretty careless lifestyle. Walking up on the threshold of faith and turning away from God. Walking up on the very brink, just walking up on the very threshold of salvation. I mean, it just, our eternal life is just right there. She's saying, oh, I'll call for you at a more convenient. Not today, Paul. I'm a little shaky, but not today. I'll call at a more convenient season. But what are you going to do about old rich man? When he steps over old Lazarus, I said, Lazarus, not today. Don't try to hand me that gospel tract. Don't try to tell me that stuff about your Jesus. I mean, if you really knew Jesus, you wouldn't be in that shape you're in. Hey, I'm telling you, that's what a lot of people think about folks that are sick today. If you really knew Jesus and loved Him, you wouldn't be in the shape you're in. And I don't think, like the man of God said in Sunday school this morning, just because a man is sick don't always mean that God is against him. A lot of times it means God's for him. Amen, that's right. Means God's on His side a lot of times. Then I thought about another fellow that got a wake-up call. And this man was hanging on a cross. And on one side of him was a thief. And on the other side of that, on one side of him was Christ, and on the other side of Christ was another thief. And that fellow on the other side saw Jesus hanging there. And something got a hold of him. When he saw him in his weakest moment, that was his weakest moment, according to fleshly speaking. There he is hanging there dying, ladies and gentlemen. And yet somebody who just happened to be the Holy Ghost spoke to that old thief on the cross and said, hey, there is Christ. There's your salvation. There's your deliverance. Amen. And here's what he said. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And those words echoed back, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. What a wake-up call. You know that other thief hanging there had to hear Christ, hear him say, Lord, this guy's hanging there. Lord, what do you mean, Lord? If he was Lord, he'd save us both now. If he was God, he'd save us both. Son of God, he'd come down and save both of us. But that other one said, Lord, remember me. Not today. Amen. But when thou comest into thy kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you better look down the road a little way to what's going to happen down the road. God's wake-up call. And I'm going to tell you what I believe got that thief. I believe that real wake-up call was when Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That fellow probably said, do what? You're going to be in paradise today and you're hanging there on the cross? What kind of a fool you think I am, buddy? I'm not falling for that stuff. I'm not going to believe that nonsense. Today you're going to be with me in paradise, and there both of you are dying just like I'm dying. We're all three dying just alike. I'm going to tell you, you'd be surprised if people look out and say, one man dies just like another man dies. But I've got news for you, friends. It's not in the death. It's what happens after death. Where you're going after death. Death, hey, is it's appointed that the man wants to die. And I'm going to tell you, it matters what happens after death. It's what takes, what really matters today. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that you and I that are saved by the grace of God know the Lord Jesus. That we don't have any problem. Brother Herbert saying, Lord, if I was to die today, today I'll be with you, not in paradise. He done led captivity captive, ladies and gentlemen, and gave gifts unto men. He done went into paradise and brought them out. They had to stay in paradise until that blood was put on that altar in the heavenly tabernacle, and it's there, and He led them out of paradise into the presence of God. Amen. No sinner, no man should come into the presence of God. I mean the real throne of God. Till that blood was put on that mercy seat in heaven. Buddy, when Jesus put that blood there, all saved mankind. The Bible does say that many got up out of the graves after His resurrection.
Amen.
Woo! Now, if you're not careful, you'll take that verse that talks about that and think that they got up out of the graves after when He was crucified. Because it said there was an earthquake. Then it says, and many got up out of their graves. But you better read the rest of it. The rest of that verse says, after His resurrection.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's right. After His resurrection. What a wake-up call. What a wake-up call to the rich man. What a wake-up call to the thief. What a wake-up call to old Felix. Then I want to say there's a wake-up call to souls that need to wake up to the Savior's cross. Need to wake up to the Savior's cross. These guys were living a careless life. But there are souls that need to wake up to the Savior's cross. If you'll read with me, please, I'll read there if I can find my place in Matthew chapter number 27. In Matthew chapter number 27, I can find that real quickly here. And I believe chapter verse 39 and 40, somewhere along in there. Chapter number 27 and verse 35 and 36. It said, and they crucified Him, that is Jesus, and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet.
Amen.
They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture they did cast lots. And now get these next words. And setting down, they watched Him there.
Amen.
Oh my. I'd say that crowd needed to wake up.
There
was their Savior. There was the Son of God. There was their Deliverer. There was their Substitute, their Sin Bearer. Died on Calvary. And they were so sleepy that they just sat down around the cross and watched Him die. Wake up! Now's the time to wake up. Now there's high time to wake up out of your sleep. Don't just sit out around the cross. Don't sit out around the wicked gate. Get up and get to the cross. And amen, get to the altar and get saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's right. They just sat down and watched Him there. Can I say to you that this is like sitting down around the altar in the Old Testament without a lamb. Here comes this sinner, here comes this Jew, comes down to the high priest and he says, here's My lamb. I want to make this lamb going to be My sacrifice. And the high priest puts his hands on the head of that lamb, signifying the sins of this man transferred over to this lamb. That man goes free and the lamb dies on the altar as a burnt offering on the altar. And there's these people just sitting around watching. They don't have a lamb. That's what these people did. They sat down around the cross. You know why? They didn't have a lamb. They were like those in the Old Testament that sat around. And without a lamb, they had no sacrifice. Oh, that's right. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Somebody, you can smoke and snuff at the sacrifice and mock it if you want. But I'm telling you that no man, woman, boy, or girl will get to heaven unless you have your own sacrifice. Not mine won't get the job done. But He is a personal Savior. Amen. A personal sacrifice He made for you and your sin that you might be saved personally.
Amen.
They just sit down around the cross. They need to wake up.
Yeah.
Folks today are just sitting around the cross waiting for something good to happen to me today.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, what do we got to do, preacher? I'm going to tell you what the bearded prophet said. Look! Look and live, that's all. Just look and live. What it said in the book of Numbers, look and live. Don't just sit there, look. Look at the darling Son of God. Blood on His brow and His body. Beaten. His life blood flowing rapidly from His body. His body is wavering on the cross, and every time that His body grows weak and He begins to slump down, you can hear His lungs. He pushes back up again to get air into His lungs. And a minute, those legs begin to grow weak from the lack of off, from the lack of strength. And He begins to weaken. And once again, Can you hear him today? Dying there in your place, look at him and live. Do you see the blood? Do you hear the moans? Do you hear the agonies of Calvary? Oh, I'm telling you this morning, God looked upon the agonies of the soul of the Son of God and was satisfied. And yet, fallen humanity cannot seem to wake up to the agonies of the Son of God when He died on Calvary. I tell you, wake up! For your salvation is nearer than when you believe. It's time to wake up! Don't just sit around the cross and let the sacrifice hang there. Look at Him and live. Look upon Him and live. May I say secondly, that this is like Barabbas. And I like this, and I'd never seen this before. I'm getting ready to tell you before today. But there's old Barabbas. Barabbas, whatever you want to call him. He's in prison. Pilate is getting ready to pronounce judgment upon Jesus. And he said, who do you want to release to you? Jesus, whom you say is King of the Jews, or Barabbas? They say, Barabbas. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. Turn loose. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And here's what the Bible said. Pilate speaking, he said, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Amen. Now Barabbas, all it says about him, he was a robber. Committed insurrection and murder in that insurrection, one of the writers says. They said, you give us Barabbas. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Steve, something caught my eyes when I was studying for this message that I've never seen before. And don't ask me to give you the understanding to it because I can't, I don't think. I wish I could. But it says in verse 39, Pilate said, but ye have a custom that I should release one, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. I wonder how long they'd had that custom. I wonder how long they had had a custom. Come on, listen now. At the Passover, they had a custom that the Pilate would release one man to them. At the Passover. Why? And here's a grabber that got me. The high priest Caiaphas had even prophesied that one should die that year for the sins of the nation and not the whole nation die. Now, I don't know how long the Jews had been crucifying a man every year. But for some reason at Easter, at the Passover, every year at the Passover, like the Passover lamb. You know what the Passover lamb is? On the 14th day of the month of April, every 14th day of April, Israel crucified a lamb, ladies and gentlemen. They crucified a lamb, but there come a day when old John the Baptizer said, hey, behold the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Not a lamb, the lamb. And He became our Passover. But they had a custom that every year God would turn, would crucify, they had turned every year that Pilate would release unto them one man every year at the Passover. You reckon they were looking for the real lamb? I can't answer that. But I'm going to say the next one I can answer for the point I'm making when I'm talking about a wake-up call. A wake-up call coming to the souls of men concerning the cross. Here's a man by the name of Barabbas that was in that prison cell. The man opened the door and said, Barabbas, you can go free. Jesus of Nazareth is going to die on the cross in your place. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where Barabbas went to the cross and said, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dying in my place. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where he said anything at all about Christ dying as his substitute. But I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, should have been a wake-up call to him. That there was a substitute. Jesus died in his place. Oh, sinner man, sinner woman. The wake-up call is going out. Jesus has become your substitute.
and your sacrifice. He died for you. You ought to have hung on that cross and died and went to hell. But Christ died for you.
Amen. He tasted death for every man. He drank the last bitter drug. Every drop of it, ladies and gentlemen. Of your sin and my sin. And became our substitute. Oh, Barabbas didn't even say thank you. Wonder when the last time that we as God's children got down before the Lord and said, Lord, thank you for dying for me. And I've got one more here. And I think about that elder brother in Luke chapter number 15. You know the story of that elder brother. How that the young brother went to the far country and wasted all of his substance with riotous living. He got famine broke loose and he realized the condition he was in. The Bible said he came to himself and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to return and go to my father's house. And when he got there, the father arose. He said, I'm just going to tell him that I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. He said, you'll just treat me like one of your hired servants. But when he got there and arose and went to the Father saw him a great way off.
Yep.
Woo! I'm glad Jesus saw me a great way off. Amen. Hey, man, you'll catch that night after a while.
Amen.
Hey, man, he saw me a great way off.
Amen.
Long time forever saw him, he saw me.
Amen.
Woo! Like that loving, heaven or nothing, friend, don't make no difference to me. I tell you, God saw me a long time forever saw God. Somebody say amen right there. That's right. And he said, Dave, go get the best robe and put on him. Get some ring and put on his finger. Put some shoes on his feet. And said, while you're at it, said, kill that fatted calf I got out there and bring him up. Said, we're going to have a feast because he that was lost is found. He that was lost is saved. He that was lost is returned. He's found. He's been found. They ought to be rejoicing in that. Are you listening? And so the elder brother heard the music. And he said, what's going on here? And one of the servants said, well, your younger brother's come. And said, your father's killed a fatted calf. The elder brother said, I'm not going in. I'm not going in where he's at. Boy, it got him all upset. He heard the music. He heard the rejoicing. He knew that something good had happened to that younger brother of his that caused the father to rejoice. But he wasn't going in and be part of it. Not on your life was he going to be part of it. But his father went out and bid him to come in. And he said, I'm not going in. And here's what he said to him. He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And here's his answer. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Get these next words. Get these next words. Neither transgressed I against thee. In other words, at any time that I transgressed, I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. He said, here's the younger brother who went down in the far country and spent everything that you gave him, but said, I've never transgressed. Praise God, I'm telling you, I'm as good as gold. I wonder how many Baptists like that in the country today. I ain't never done like Joe Blow over there has done. I ain't never transgressed. I ain't never played poker. I ain't never run with women. I ain't never went to the theater. I ain't never whoremonged. I ain't never committed adultery. I ain't never sinned. I've never transgressed your commandment. How come that sinner is so happy and I'm not? I'm going to tell you why. So that sinner got saved in the grace of God. And the other brother's wake up call. He didn't hear it. And that music come out and the joy was a wake-up call for that old boy. But he didn't hear the wake-up call. He went right on his sinful ways. You know what it was? He was so self-righteous that he failed to see Christ. Hey, One failed to see him as his sacrifice. One failed to see him as his substitute. But this guy failed to see him as a sin bearer. I've not sinned. Why do I need a sin bearer? Come on in here just a minute. Sinner man and saint alike. If you're saved, Christ has bore your sin in His own body on the tree. That's what the Bible says. What about that, Brother Allen? Say, what about that? In His own body, God has prepared for Him a body. And in that body, yeah. Oh yeah, you don't know that's a play. That body, that was a body like to a man. God prepared that body. And in that body of flesh, He bore your sins and my sins on the cross. And our sins were nailed to the cross with Him. That fella couldn't see that. I've not sinned. Why do I need a sin bearer? I've never transgressed your law. You know something, and I'll say something to you this morning. You don't have to do one thing to go to hell. You don't have to do a thing to go to hell. If you're born, alive and living, and you don't ever do one thing, you don't have to. You're going to hell. Because there's none that doeth good, nor not one. And a man don't go to hell for the fact that in his lifetime before he was saved, he committed adultery or was a drunkard or a thief. Man don't go to hell because of that. No, sir. I'm going to tell you why a man goes to hell for. Because he was born a sinner.
Amen.
We're all born sinners. We've all fell short of the glory of God. Every one of us.
Amen.
You don't have to do a thing to become a sinner. You are a sinner. You were born a sinner. You come out of the womb speaking lies. I'm going to lay my little baby down, bless his little heart, let him go to sleep. Night, night, sweetheart. Oh, something must be wrong. What's wrong, sweetheart? Well, I thought something surely wrong. No pen sticking him, no diaper. Here's your little foo-foo. Night, night. You know what he's doing? He's lying like a dog. Ain't a thing wrong with him. He just walks in mama's arms again. He came out of the womb alive. He came out of the womb alive. Now, I'm going to tell you, so did the rest of us, ladies and gentlemen. But thank God I've got a sacrifice. Thank God I got a substitute. Thank God I got a sin bearer. I died on Calvary to redeem my soul from the depths of sin. Bless His holy name. Bless and assure Jesus is mine. Bless and assure Jesus is mine. Well, see, you don't mind if I use your cliche, do you? I believe it'd be fitting right here. I might take a lap. Now I'm about out of breath already. Brother Steve's talking about in Sunday school. He's talking about the temptation of Jesus. And how that Jesus is the head and we're the body. Is that what the Bible says? And he said, a lot of people think they're going to drown, that they're going under. But ladies, now listen, get a hold of this. As long as the head's above water, you can't drown the body.
Amen.
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 That just about makes me want to dance. As long as the head's above water, you can't drown the body. Now I'm telling you, as long as Jesus is on the throne and He'll be there for all eternity, you can't drown the body. I'm telling you, I'm not a going to hell. If you're saved, you ain't a going to hell. We can't drown. We are going to glory. Hallelujah!
Amen.
That hurts your ears? I hope so.
Amen.
Hey, God. Now, I'm about done. Somebody said, thank God. Now, I think the saints need to wake up.
Amen.
To the second coming. The saints need to wake up.
Amen.
You'd be surprised at people who claim to be saved. They really, deep down in their heart, they wonder, is it really true? Is Jesus really going to come back? Well, I'm going to tell you what two men in white apparel said. Said in Acts 1:9, and when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, for here comes the word, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall.
S-H-A-L-L, shall come. Woo! Not maybe. Shall come. I say that's a certain. That's a fact. That is a fact. He's coming. He shall come again in like manners. You've seen him go away. I'm telling you all that's going on in the world. Look at the Middle East. Look at the storms in our own country. Look at what's going on around us. Sin on the uprise. Sodomy on the uprise. Hey, men, drunkenness on the uprise. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. He's coming!
Amen.
He shall come, not my time, shall come.
Now, and secondly, wake up to the fact of His coming. And wake up to what Christ will find when He gets here. He said in Luke 18 and verse 8, he said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Speaking of the whole realm, the whole body of faith, shall he find faith? But I'm going to tell you, that's not the one that gets me. It's in there. I'm not going to turn there. My time's up. Matthew 25:25. The parable of the men with the talents. One guy had one little talent. He run out and he buried that talent. One that had 10, God gave him 10 more. And one had 5, God gave him 5 more. He said, "What about you? What did you do with yours?" He said, "I buried it." "Well, what did you bury it for?" He said, "I knew you were an austere man. You reaped where you didn't sow, where you didn't straw and so forth. And I wanted you to have this at your coming." At your coming.
Right.
He buried his talent. You know what? He wasn't very faithful with what God gave him.
Amen.
May I say to you, God is looking for faithfulness. Amen. Not only faith, but faithfulness. To take what He's given us and use it for Him till He comes.
Yep.
Till He comes. Is He coming? Am I about to get drunker than Cooter Brown? Is He coming? Oh yes, He's coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, or maybe soon. I don't know when, but He's coming again. Now, I'm going to tell you, He hadn't given me a lot, but what a God I want to use for Him. Amen. He's given me a voice. While I still got it, I'm going to use it. He's given me a set of lungs. And while I got it, I'm still using it. I said, "I don't like that." Neither does the devil show you what side you're on.
Amen.
He's given me legs, and I'm going to use them as long as I can. Amen. I was carrying that stuff down them stairs the other day, and I told myself, I said, "I buckled." I buckled for the first time I know in my life. I buckled under the load. And I'm going to tell you what. I may be buckling a little bit under the load right now, but I'm going to tell you something. I've got one I can lean on.
Amen.
Amen. My vision's a little blurred right now. I got one's got perfect vision. Same man never gets blurred. His knees never grow weak and feeble. Woo! Amen. We can lean on Him. Like somebody said, He's a high tower we can run to. Amen. Find refuge in that tower. Thank God. He's coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. I don't know when, but He's coming again. The answer to the question is this. Have you heard the wake-up call to a careless life? Have you heard a wake-up call to the cross? Have you heard a wake-up call to His coming? They went out. I could have said this one. Matthew 25, I believe. 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish.
Amen.
The wise took all in their lamps with their vessels, and the foolish took no oil. And at midnight, a cry was made. Bridegroom cometh! Go ye out to meet him! Them 5 foolish said, give us all. We don't have any. The 5 wise said, go get your own. And while they were going to get their own, the 5 wise had all. The call that was made, they went out to meet him. And the door was shut. And the 5 foolish came and said, let us in! He said, it's too late. You heard the call like they did. Too late.
Amen.
Too late. Can't come in the door shut, just like in Noah's day. God shut the door, she was shut, friend. I'm telling you, when God shuts the door, the door's shut. Let's stand together.